gather to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35. Earlier we read together two of the three major passages about the cities of refuge. Very interesting illustration of the gospel found in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 35 gives us the fuller account, though it does not give us the names of the cities like we read together in Joshua, because they had not yet conquered the land of Canaan as they did after Joshua and the armies had done so. So we look at Numbers chapter 35, commencing at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. And to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many, but from them that have few ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inheriteth. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give 3 cities on this side Jordan, and 3 cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge. Notice the repeating phrase, the repeating word, refuge, for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with the throwing of stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by lying of wait, that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenge of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or if cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood, according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whether or whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. These passages give us one of the civil laws in the nation of Israel in the days when they were a great nation indeed. Here is an illustration of the gospel in their civil laws. May I say, the gospel according to the cities of refuge. Now, in the book of Genesis, we're told that he that sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So we're assuming from the very beginning that there was private judgment involved when people slew one another. Even by accident at times, the assumption was if someone was slain by another, it was murder. And you can understand that there was private vengeance in the nations unless they came up with civil laws that protected the innocent manslayer. But even up to this point, apparently in Israel, an avenger of blood could take the life of a manslayer as soon as he caught him. And so the Lord, as he was enacting different civil and ceremonial laws, came up with this law to protect the innocent person, the one who slaughtered a man accidentally. There was no provision for a premeditated murder. That person was to be put to death by the avenger of blood. But the Lord in His kindness set up this gospel illustration in Israel. In other words, anyone who killed a person by accident, whether it was at work or play, for example, an axe head fell off, or a stone was fell from the top of a building that was being built and killed someone, or a wooden tool was accidentally struck someone that he died, or any other accident that led to a death. The near relative of the victim, called the avenger of blood, could slay that manslayer. Whether it was a murderer or it was an accidental death, that avenger of blood had the right to slay that manslayer unless... We have to only imagine what could have possibly protected a manslayer before this legislation. He would have to hide. Maybe he had to run to another country. We're not given any instances. The only instances we're given, and we're told that the only other place of refuge prior to the cities of refuge was the altar. And even in Exodus chapter 21, it's assuming, though there was never any teaching on it, that people would flee to the altar if they wanted to be spared the death of the avenger of blood. Because it says in Exodus 21, if a murderer flees to the altar, he shall not be spared. So the assumption is that he did. And of course, you know, later on, Joab fled to the horns of the altar. He didn't flee to a city of refuge, possibly because he knew he wouldn't have been able to reach it in time. Or maybe he was thinking that he knew it was murder, and that maybe God would show some clemency rather than having his life taken, but there was no mercy as far as Joab was concerned. So the Lord said that the manslayer could flee to one of the cities of refuge. There were at least six. It's interesting that in one account, the Lord said, if your land is increased, I'll increase three more cities. It's kind of a sad thing to think back on, isn't it? That if Israel had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, if they didn't apostatize, God would have continued to spread the real estate for them. And they would have had nine cities of refuge rather than six. But that never came to pass because of Israel's apostasy. But the Lord situated the city so that you could, as Spurgeon indicates here, you could indeed reach a city within a half a day or a day to find refuge or safety from the near relative of the victim who had vengeance on his mind and he was going to enact justice and take your life. This seems an unusual legislation, isn't it? But it's factual. This is God's wisdom in Israel. You can understand the feelings involved on both sides. The near relative saddened by the premature death of his cousin, of his brother, of his uncle, of his niece, what have you. But the gospel here is interwoven in the civil and ceremonial laws of Israel. Remember, the sacrifices would point to Christ dying for us. The Passover, Christ being the one who shed his blood that we might not be judged by the Lord. Circumcision, teaching that we need to circumcise the foreskin of our hearts. The altar, even as it was built by Adam and built by Noah, that God is approached through the death of an innocent victim, that we need a mediator. You cannot go directly to God. You need a go-between, a mediator. But I believe that the cities of refuge bring a gospel message. I believe that the gospel writer, the writer to Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 18, brings this out. It says that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Did he not have the cities of refuge in mind when he wrote that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us? So the point is, a man is suddenly become a lawbreaker. He has suddenly realized that he has caused the death of another person, the harm and hurt of a permanent nature. He is now suddenly under great guilt and fear. He's in fear for his life. His life is in jeopardy. At any moment, he could be slain. He needs to run to the city of refuge to find safety, escape from the avenger of blood. Question I ask us this morning is, do you have refuge from the avenger of blood? You say, how does this apply to me today? I have never killed anyone. I believe there's a parable in this illustration. The point is that the person has been awakened to the fact that he's committed a terrible accident that is hurt, that has cost life. And there's an avenger of blood that is on his way toward me to exercise justice. My part is to flee for safety wherever that may be found. This morning I want us to see that we have all fallen into the category of manslayers. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. And hot on our trail is an avenger of blood. The only safe retreat is Christ. Christ is the city of refuge. Get to Him first before the avenger of blood gets to you. That's the message of the city of refuge. Get to the city of refuge before the avenger of blood gets to you. So I want us to think about the subject, our refuge from righteous revenge. Our refuge from righteous revenge. We ponder that we have the need of refuge. Do you see that you're in danger? If not, you need to see that. We have a need of refuge. We have a need of safety. The objects seem to be innocent parties here. There's honest labor. And someone has been killed by timbering, dropping trees, or building a building, or perhaps even playing. Someone's been killed. There's been a loose axe head, a stray stone, or a fallen tree. You could put it in our day. I saw a golf club head fly off after someone hit it the other day. And if I was in the way of that path, I may have been 6 feet under today. A stray tire. I've seen a tire fall off a car. I was pulled over one time, and someone went by, and a tire just fell off. And if somebody was in the way of that tire, he was gone. It missed me only by about 20 feet. And it must have rolled 100 yards into the field. The person was going about 55 miles an hour. I mean, there's all kinds of accidents, car accidents, stones that have fallen off trucks just this week. Jessica was coming down 240 and a Gernot truck was turning onto 240 and a stone came right off the truck. And we know what happened with someone that Adam Moody helped a few years ago. A stone came out of an axle. A large stone went right through the windshield and killed the driver of the car. And who knows what that stone could have done if it had come through the windshield. It cost $800 that Gernot's going to have it fixed. Some dangerous things that happened to us. Accidents. And you can see that in their day there were terrible accidents. But here's the point. There's a fearful awareness that has come over the manslayer, whether he was a murderer or whether he was just, it was an accident, there's a terrible guilt, a fearful awareness. I'm guilty of manslaughter. I'm guilty of hurting. I'm guilty of death. I'm guilty of harm. And the point of this is the illustration of sin. Sin has been committed by all of us, and sin deserves death. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the application here is that every one of us is in the category of the manslayer. Every one of us has sinned. And whether we're aware of it or not, we're guilty of death. We're guilty. And we're deserving death, the death stroke of the avenger of blood. We're the manslayer. Who's the sin slayer? Who's the avenger of blood? Literally, it's the kinsman of blood. It's the same word used of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Who's the Goel? Who's the avenger of blood? Well, he was the nearest relative to the victim. Ponder this. Who have we sinned against? Who's the victim of our sin? It's God Himself, the lawgiver. We have sinned against each other, but we have primarily sinned against God. And who's the nearest relative of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, He didn't come into the world to destroy the world, but He deserved it. God could have sent Him into the world as the avenger of blood to destroy us all for breaking His law and committing crime against God. But Jesus said, and we can understand His words, I came not to destroy, but to save. Though I have the right to destroy, Though I have the right to be an avenger of blood, I came to save. But you see, the law of God is the avenger of blood. It has no mercy. The law says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The law doesn't say you have one sin before you'll be put to death, or five, or 20. The law of God says if you sin and I sin once in thought, word, and deed, death is our desert. We deserve it. And the lawgiver, of course, the personality behind the law is God Himself. He is the avenger. He is the one who's been victimized. We've committed a crime against the God of the law. It is God who's been offended. He's holy and we have committed sins of unholiness, adultery. He is righteous and we have lied and we have been unrighteous. He's the ruler and we have dishonored His authority. He is good and we have rejected His goodness and cast His law behind our back and counted the Sabbath day as something that is inconvenient. It isn't good, man says. He's the provider of our needs and man's needs, and yet man is covetous and man steals instead of trusting God. And we have to see that without Jesus Christ, he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And the picture of the sinner under the condemnation of God's law is the sinner now has the axe of God's justice hanging over him. The avenger of blood is upon the sinner. Refuge is needful because sin has been committed and sin is condemned. We need refuge desperately and we need it now. And may I ask the question, is refuge far? Is it rare? What is God teaching here? That refuge is accessible. It's not only needful, but God doesn't put the need up in the sky and say, jump over the moon. God doesn't conceal the need in the Bible. You need magnifying glasses and you need one person to tell you what it says. Did you notice that the cities of refuge, it wasn't just one or two cities. Three on each side of the Jordan. And situated accessibly. You could easily get to these cities. And Spurgeon is right. Within a half a day. Think about it. Six cities. Where the number six is indeed the number of man. And God is saying, I have refuge for man. They're all within a day's distance. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if Spurgeon's right, and I've read others, and I've heard that rabbis have said the same thing. There were signposts that said, Mekeleth, refuge, and they pointed clearly. And if you noticed in one of these accounts, it says to make a way to the city of refuge. And I think what is being intended there by the Lord is you make sure the way is clear. You make sure that there's a path. You make sure that there are no obstacles. You make sure that it's accessible to the one who's fleeing to this city. What a gospel message. That God has given us access to salvation, to refuge. It's within arm distance. He's given us a signpost, a word. He's given us clear path. Who is that refuge? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. All who come to me, I will in no way cast out. Suffer the little children. It's that simple. It's that clear. God gave His only begotten Son. He makes it very clear who the city of refuge in is. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ Jesus came into the world to make Himself accessible. Romans, Christ, is within calling distance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the writer, does he say, do you have to go to heaven to find him? Do you have to go deep into the abyss to find him? No, he's right there. The word is very nigh. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he's an ear distance away. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice, all, without exception. He says, all who come unto me, I will in no way cast out. We're all in need of refuge. And the refuge, the safety is accessible, even to the chiefest of sinners. Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners because he said, I ravaged the church of Christ. I put to death those who believed in Jesus Christ. I'm the chiefest of sinners, and yet the Lord saved me. If He can save me, He can save anyone. Friend, you need refuge. You've sinned against God's law. I've sinned against law. I need refuge. You've got to see your need to get to the city of refuge. There's no time to pick flowers. There's no time to drag your feet. There's no time to argue with God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you're without Christ, the law of God hangs over your head, friend. There's just a step between you and death. There's just a heartbeat between you and eternity. There's just a heartbeat between you and a righteous, revengeful God. Refuge is needed, but it's accessible. Isn't the signpost here, brother and sister? The Lord gives us signposts from Genesis to Revelation. Here's the way. Look for Jesus of Nazareth. Look for the one born of the Virgin Mary. Look for the one that came from Judah. Look for the one who would do miracles. Look for the one who would have words that were words of miraculous counsel. Look for the one that would die on a cross. Look for the one that would rise from the dead. Look for the one who would ascend to heaven. And there's no one else. There's only one city of refuge for us, which is accessible within calling distance. Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and men. He's the way. May I say, thirdly, what is the substance of the refuge? Just a thought? Just real estate? Notice it was a city. It had walls. It had elders. It had police, as it were. It had people. And it had priests. Every city of refuge was a city of the Levites. That's interesting. As if God was saying, it's my city in particular. These were my people. And the people of the land, the other tribes, gave them the cities. But these were my cities. That's what the Lord is indicating. And the fact that they would be away from their hometown for as long as the high priest was alive. And yet they would be put in a city where they were being taught the Word of God, where they had accessibility to teachers all day. So though they were away from their hometowns and away from their own jobs and they had to pick up a new residence with strange people, yet they had accessibility to the Word all day long if they desired it. But it was a city. And the cities were named. And it's interesting how some of them have very interesting names. Hebron means united. Kadesh means a consecrated city, the word for holiness. But God is clearly naming what the cities are, showing where they are, giving access to them. You know, you think about the Lord when He saves us. He adds us to the city of Zion. Zion, city of the great King. He adds us to the city called Christ Church. The people of God. Zion, city of the great King. It's a city of priests. We're all kings and priests in Christ. When you think about a priest, you think about sacrifice and you think about Scripture. They offered for sins and they taught the theology of the sacrifices. Their responsibility was to sacrifice and to teach Scripture. That was their full-time ministry. The Lord Jesus is called our great high priest. He came to sacrifice. You see, He's in the city. He is the city. He is the refuge. And He teaches us the truth of what we've learned. There's a place that they were told to go. We're to be in Christ if we're going to be safe. It says in one of these passages, they shall be given a place in the city. They weren't just to be standing around. They weren't just to be in a hotel, as it were. They were given a place that was theirs in the city. You and I are given a place. I go to prepare a place for you. Their safety was based upon a person, the high priest. Now you think, well, they didn't want this man to live very long, but the point is, the high priest was critical while he was alive and while he was dead. You see, it was a comfort to this man that the high priest was alive because he would be able to commune with him. He would be able to say, look, this high priest has not enacted my death. I'm able to commune with him. And you know, wouldn't it have been wonderful that high priest, if he discovered, and we're not given any of these accounts that it ever happened, we assume they did. People die all the time by accident. It would have been a comfort when the high priest was told, we've got a manslayer who's innocent. He's been taken away from his city. He's now living in the city of refuge. And you'd have thought that the high priest, whether it be Aaron or Eleazar, would visit this man and say, you're safe. Your elders have discerned and concluded that your killing of this individual was by accident. I want you to know that the sacrifices that God has accepted include you. That God has accepted you. And you are safe from the manslayer. And of course, when the high priest died, it was ultimate refuge. When the high priest died, he was free to leave the city and just roam anywhere in the promised land, as it were. And what a blessed picture that is. Christ has died for us. We have liberty in this world and the next. The law will never slay us. God will never pour out His wrath upon us. We, as the Lord said, you have liberty going in and out and find pasture. And we have no reason to fear anyone but God, and that's a fear of reverence and awe. The law can no longer condemn us. The Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But you know what really comforted the man in the city of refuge was not just the fact that it was a wall around it and people protected him, but it was God's word. God said, these are cities of refuge. I promise you, these will be places of safety. That's what we need. God's promise. So if I was in that city of refuge, how do I know it's safe? Friend, God set this aside. God told Joshua that if you're in Hebron, Hebron's a city of refuge. And interestingly, it was Caleb that was given Hebron for his prowess. And Caleb willingly gave it for a city of refuge out of his own possession. And that man could say, wait, it's God's promise. God set aside this city. I'm safe. No one will dare break God's promise and God's command. For someone to kill me, they have to go through God to kill me. That's what it's saying. If you're in Christ, the manslayer or the avenger of blood has to kill God to get to you. Has to kill Christ over again to get to you. And that's impossible. Salvation or refuge is in the essence of a person, Christ, a place in Christ, and the promise, God's Word, that set the cities of refuge. And that's what it says, by the way, in Hebrews chapter 6. When the writer says that you have fled for consolation to refuge, what is the context? You have God's promise and you have God's oath. You have, by two immutable things that God cannot lie, that you are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. God has not only promised it, He's backed it with an oath. I swear to you that you will never perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. And I would have to think that the manslayer probably had his family come with him to the city of refuge. Though it doesn't say, you obviously have to read between the lines, but I imagine that there was enough room for the man's wife and his children, and he was given honest employment. In other words, they were all safe from the avenger of blood. The message here is your family in the city? The promise is unto you and to your children. You know, you say, I'm in the city. But is your family in the city? Are you concerned about your spouse, about your children, about your brothers and sisters? Again, it follows that we are a brother's keeper. I can't rest until I know they're all in the city of refuge. Because they all need refuge. They're all in danger, just like I. And my word to them is, there is a place, there is a promise, there is a person, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give you refuge. And we come to the terms of refuge. What have I to do to find this city? What are the terms, friend? Blind hope? I'm just hoping that the avenger of blood will show mercy. I'll turn around and wait for the relative to come and I'll plead with him. Do I plead with the law and say I've only broken it a few times? Do I blindly say, well, God won't send me to hell? I've done the best I could. I didn't mean most of it all the time. What if the manslayer had stopped and pleaded with the avenger of blood? To no avail. He'd be slain on the spot. What if he hid in another city? I'll hide. Nobody will find me. I'll disguise myself. How men hide under their works, under their cloaks of righteousness, their good deeds and their wishful thinking. Surely I won't be found out, but be sure your sin will find you out. Or I'll fight the avenger. I'll take an instrument of defense in my hand. I'll fight the avenger. Oh, fool, God is almighty. God is the mighty God. You can't fight God. There's no other plea. There's only one place of refuge. There are two terms, and two terms alone. Run and remain. Those are the terms. Friend, that's the term for you. It's not work. It's run. Run. Flee. That's the message in Numbers, that he may flee thither. That's the message in Joshua. He shall flee to one of those cities. That's the term. Flee to Christ. Like Lot was told, flee to the mountain. Flee to the city of refuge. That was his only hope. Friend, faith is the term. Believe is fleeing. That's what the Hebrews writer said. They have fled for refuge. Matthew, flee from the wrath to come. That is the message of Christ. Don't linger, don't procrastinate, don't argue. Flee from the wrath to come. You'll understand all the other aspects of the gospel and the law later. But understand this, that you're a manslayer, that you're guilty of breaking God's law, and the law of God's going to catch up with you. God's going to catch up with you. He will judge the world in righteousness. So you're message is run to Christ. Run right away. Matthew 23, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? The damnation of hell is escaped. It isn't fought. You escape it by running to the city of refuge. 1 Corinthians, flee fornication, because it's sin that's self-destructive. It's sin that's the magnet for justice. So we flee youthful lusts. We flee fornication. We don't tamper with it because it's self-destructive and it's a magnet for justice. And so the message here is move. Move fast. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Repent or you'll perish. And then God will give you legs. God will give you faith. You run, and God will get you running. God will give you faith. And then the message is, remain. Don't look back. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You run and you keep running until you get to the city. You don't pick flowers. You don't drag your feet. You don't salute and stop and talk. You get to Christ. And that's the message today. Friend, where you are in the pew, where you are in the pew, call upon the name of the Lord. Where you are in the pew, you can run in your soul to the city of refuge. Don't wait for these artificial confidences or artificial accesses like wait till you have an altar call or wait till you the right moment. The right moment is now, friend. Please get to Christ. And then he tells them to abide. To abide. Joshua, and he shall live in that city. Numbers, he shall abide in it. And if he didn't, he should have remained. And Deuteronomy, and he shall live in it. In other words, you don't ever go out of the city. You persevere. And of course, the message is, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. If you've been saved, you'll remain saved. You'll persevere to the end. It's a fearful thing what John said. They went out from us because they were never of us. For if they had been of us, they would have never departed from us. The Demases that have forsaken Paul, having loved this present world, the Ahithophels, who joined with the Absaloms. Those that once were among the people of God and once were in the prayer meetings and once were reading their Bibles, now in their hearts and in their bodies, they have departed from the living God and from His people. It's like Lot's wife. She had artificial faith. Oh, she was moving, but she looked back. She's the picture of someone that runs, has temporary faith, but looks back and won't remain. She's the picture of someone that walked out of the city of refuge because she loved the world. And the avenger of blood found her out to have never been regenerated. You see, if you're regenerated, you'll be sanctified. If you're alive, you'll be growing. Though it may be a little bit of growth, growth shows life, and life leads to growth. And so if you've run to Christ, you'll remain with Christ. And Jesus says, abide with me. Abide in me. If you abide in me and I in you, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I don't want to look back. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. He that does the will of God abides forever. Have you run to Christ? Are you in the city of refuge? Are you remaining in Christ? Christ and His body, they're both taught here. Zion is the city of God. When the Holy Spirit saved sinners, He added them to the church. And it bothers me that people don't want to be part of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't come to sit at the table, the Lord's table of the church. They won't be baptized. They don't want to pray with the people of God. They're sporadic in their attendance. It's a picture of someone going in and out of the city of refuge. They don't want to have a place. They just want to have their own liberties. Our liberties have a boundary around them. God sets the liberties of our green grass. And I see people who are so independent, they don't want to be accountable. And I wonder, they're the illustration of someone that goes in the city and they're out of the city. They're tempting the avenger of blood. You wonder, are they in Christ or are they not? It's not bare existence. It's blessed living. You know what? The wonderful thing about this, as I was pondering it, is finally the result of that refuge. Just peace. Not, you know, I was thinking, I'm such a rascal at times. I wonder, would I have been someone saying, I want to go back to my old city? Most likely they never did. I mean, high priest lived to be 80, 90. You know, how many people ever really went back? If they did, it was after 20, 30, 40 years. And by then, probably don't want to go back. This is my home now. Why do I want to go back? That was the point, certainly. Not to necessarily look for the death, but I have peace with God. But the thing that was a blessing to think about, you know, I have even peace with the avenger of blood. And I know we all have feelings, but if the avenger of blood came in that city, I could shake his hand. I could say, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to kill your brother. I didn't mean to kill. I was guilty. I did, but this is God's provision. And there's provision for my forgiveness. I could hug the avenger in blood while I was in that city. The law of God is good. We can read the Ten Commandments and no longer feel that there's a hammer over our head. It's a revelation of Christ. It's a conviction to our sin. It's a revelation of God's will for my life. It's no longer a condemning tool. I can shake the hands of the avenger of blood. And more than that, we can bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, my Lord and my God, He's no longer my judge. And we can face God in Christ and say, Father and Savior. We have peace from God, we have peace with God, and we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. What is peace but the cessation of hostility? And I understand that they were people with feelings. But if you were a spiritual avenger of blood and you went into that city, you could forgive that person. You could fellowship with that person. You could visit that city not with a knife in your hand. You could purposely visit that manslayer and say, look, we have peace. You're in the city of refuge. I can't hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. Because you have followed God's word. And the law of God says not only I can't hurt you, but I don't want to hurt you. We have a different relationship with the law of God now than we did before we were saved. We have a different relationship with the God of the law that we didn't have beforehand. He's now our Lord and our God and our Savior and our friend. We have peace from the avenger and we have peace with the avenger. We have love for the Lord who devised the means of our escape. We have joy to the Lord for accepting us as part of in His city. We have peace with the Lord. Refuge. It's used exclusively in these contexts. No other context. What is the word mekeleth used for those who find asylum and safety from the Lord's avenger? And may I conclude this morning by saying, beware of not entering into the city of refuge. Beware of finding every other kind of refuge but Christ. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How many of them devised ways that seemed right? A city with higher walls and maybe with people that would protect him. Maybe I'll get familiar with weapons. Today people are saying, my church will save me, my works will save me. I haven't done all that much. I'm really not that bad. Beware of not entering the city. Get to Christ. Be in Christ. Be added to Zion, the city of God. And beware, secondly, of exiting the city of refuge. Don't be among those that went out from us because they were not of us. How do I know, preacher? How do I know, friend, whether I'm not going to leave? You keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He that endureth to the end, the shame shall be saved. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't look back. Look forward. The Septuagint says that this city of refuge is literally a fleeing place. Don't exit the city of refuge. Remain in this city. Have the peace that's from God and with God and the peace of God. Enjoy the fellowship of the saints. And as I said before, the alternate place, apparently, even under God's mercy, was the altar. The city of refuge and the altar really give us the same thing. Our refuge is Christ. He's our altar. He's our city. He's our Savior. He's our priest. He's our prophet. He's our king. He's our all in all. If you have fled to Christ, you have refuge. His name is refuge. He gives you a place in the city of God. I like what Joshua 24, verse 4 says. Take him into the city, give him a place, that he may dwell among them, and that they deliver him not into the hand of the avenger of blood. There is complete salvation. Heaven forever and hell never. All the necessary provision is made for our safety. It's for us to run and remain. Flee to Christ now. And freedom is instantaneous because Jesus has lived and died for us. And we'll never, ever be in jeopardy, in danger of the avenger of blood. Righteous revenge hangs over the head of the sinner without Christ. But in Christ we have refuge from God's righteous revenge. Take this message to the world, to your friends, to your family. Take it to your heart. Don't let it just be a sermon we tuck away in our memory. Please let it sink down into our hearts. This is a gospel message that is desperately needed by manslayers today. All is sinning, come short of the glory of God. The law of God is chasing every soul. Your foot shall slip in due time. Be sure your sins will find you out. But in Christ we can say to them, He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is security in Him. He that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on him. Shall we pray?